Hello, world. It's a Monday, Christmas Eve day. News, right after this. Well, I think it's about time. I've got to get some things together after the radio program and before the candlelight service tonight, and I'm going to get out there and get my shopping done. I am terrible. I do like to walk through the mall and watch people on Christmas Eve. It's kind of a tradition here, but my friend, don't forget, as we often hear, the reason for the season. His name is Jesus. That's what this whole thing is about. The world has basically taken over. Maybe we have acquiesced and given him that position. But yeah, Christmas, the birth of Jesus Christ. Tell others. Great time. Over the holidays, Easter, Christmas, special days, funerals, weddings. It's a good time to talk about Jesus and tell people the one who saved you somewhere along the line. You are saved, right? I pray, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a great time to celebrate and tell others about Jesus. Well, as the partial U.S. government shutdown enters its third day, this Christmas Eve day, lawmakers have left Washington for the Christmas holiday. No sign of urgency to resolve the fight over President Donald Trump's demand for border wall money. Unlike shutdowns of the past, Congress and the White House aren't racing to reopen the government. Offices of congressional leaders who are responsible for negotiating with the president are shuttered as Trump remains at the White House after canceling a trip to the Mar-a-Lago resort in Florida for Christmas. Previous government closures have put Washington in crisis mode, with round-the-clock talks going on, strategy sessions, and public posturing. Not so this time. The next possibility for votes in the House and Senate is on December the 27th, but Democrats have indicated the two sides are far from any kind of a deal, and this could go well into January. Happy New Year! He did it right. No, he did it wrong. A little confusion among conservatives reference to Syria. Trump's picked up a big supporter. U.S. Senator Rand Paul reiterated his support for President Trump's decision last week to remove 2,000 American troops, appearing on Sunday talk shows to assert that the president had made the right move and was doing exactly what he promised voters he would do when he campaigned in 2016. Paul also urged a similar U.S. pullout from Afghanistan, a nearly two-decade undertaking that Paul compared to the ill-fated Vietnam War. Well, you've got a favorite there, Mr. President. And it goes without saying to those of you who protect our freedom in the United States of America, a big Merry Christmas and God bless you all. LeBron, what are you saying? Oh, he's a basketball superstar. LeBron James has ripped NFL owners as he praised NBA Commissioner Adam Silver for listening to the players in the league. James made his comments on Friday night's episode of HBO's The Shop, which is co-executive produced by the LA Lakers superstar. James was speaking with Maverick Carter, his business partner and rapper Ice Cube, and late-night talk show host Jimmy Kimmel. What a loser. And the NFL star Todd Gurley. The topic of the national anthem protest came up, and Gurley said that it was a touchy subject among the players. He noted that the protests were not being discussed as much this season like last year. It's a touchy subject. Some guys feel some type of way, some guys don't, and some guys honestly don't, they don't care, I guess, about how somebody else feels. But you don't want to be that type of a teammate or that type of a guy, do you? That was the question. James said the NFL was attempting to exert control over its players. Yeah, when you work for me and you're playing on my field. And then came that classic comment. In the NFL, they got a bunch of old white men owning teams, and they got that slave mentality, said LeBron James. And it's like, this is my team. You do what I tell you to do, or we get rid of you all. Wow, that's kind of tough. Almost sounds like reverse racism. So he was such a bad guy back there in the 1950s, talking about Joe McCarthy, and he said, 70 years ago, I told you, socialists and communists were taking over the schools and the courts and the entertainment business and the news media and the Democratic Party, and everyone laughed at me. Who's laughing now? Wow. What? We can't say what? Huh? A senior living center in Washington has banned its residents from saying Merry Christmas or displaying any Christmas cards or decorations with any religious significance in common areas. The trouble started when the building manager at Providence Place in Chehalis told a Christian resident she could not say Merry Christmas. She could not hang Christmas cards with religious symbols on her door frame because the center receives funds, from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. Attorneys at the Alliance Defending Freedom, which is representing the residents, says HUD does not ban funding recipients from celebrating Christmas. Americans don't lose their constitutionally protected freedom because they say Merry Christmas or otherwise express their faith just because they live in a facility that accepts government funds. So said senior counsel Matt Sharp. Well, all right, Matt, I like it. You're sharp. No HUD rule requires senior living centers that accept federal resources to deny any of the residents the ability to celebrate Christmas with religious songs and symbols. So put that in your pipe and smoke it. More news right after this. So did they know what it was all about? The shepherd, the wise men, making their journey to see a baby boy lying in a manger? You think they realized who they beheld? Certainly angels' host and the bright and shining star impressed upon them the significance of their way. But did they recognize the Messiah? Sadly, there are people in our world today, who still do not recognize Jesus as God's Son, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings. Some people take the time to place a nativity scene on a table at Christmas time, and yet they do not understand the significance of baby Jesus. Let me ask you, is he just another baby? Nope. He is the magnificent Son of Almighty God, the Messiah, the Most Holy One. Why not begin now by giving him your praise? Conservative author and filmmaker Dinesh D'Souza doubled down on his criticisms of former First Lady Michelle Obama's college thesis, describing the Princeton University academic paper as illiterate and incoherent. Ooh. Anyone who has read Michelle's college thesis, a document so illiterate and so incoherent that it was written, as Christopher Hitchens put it, in no known language today, will chuckle heartily if they read this one. In a tweet on Sunday, D'Souza called the senior thesis a complete intellectual embarrassment, not just to her, but to Princeton University. D'Souza's Facebook post included a link to an article in Newsweek in which Mrs. Obama discussed her struggles with self-doubt and challenged the intelligence of power players in the nonprofit, corporate, and government sectors, including the United Nations, with whom she had worked. The piece in Newsweek covered a talk Obama gave in London alongside Nigerian author Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie, whoever that is. Okay, come on, fess up. Who said it? With more than 57,000 veterans with no place to sleep, 15 million children living in poverty, and a soaring national debt of $21 trillion, America is hardly in a position to roll out the welcome mat to anyone, especially illegal immigrants. It can happen anywhere, anytime. Two Louisiana State University student athletes were involved in a fatal shooting near Baton Rouge on the weekend after one person was found dead in the back seat of a truck in Scotlandville. The two student athletes were taken in for questioning. They remain in police custody today, though they have not been arrested yet. How the student athletes were involved in the incident remains unclear, and it's been noted that the victim was not a student athlete. The fatal incident took place shortly after noon Saturday, and the student athletes called law enforcement after that shooting occurred and waited for the police to arrive. Back in the 1950s, GM, well, they've been in the news. Come on, pay back your bill there, GM. Anyway, General Motors was at its peak, and it defined the post-war American corporation. It was widely viewed as a shining example of how to run a very big company and how a large company should really be managed. And hey, it controlled half of the U.S. car market then, just half, consumers bought the other half from GM competitors. That's the best anyone has ever done at monopolizing a market in the United States, and to be fair, antitrust fears were much more robust in those days. GM had disincentives to grow too large. The Sherman Act of 1890 and the Department of Justice were on their side. GM remains the biggest automaker by sales in this country, but it controls less than 20% of a market now. For consumers, this level of competition has been wonderful. The level of choice when it comes to buying and leasing new vehicles in America is very high. For GM, as well as other large car makers, having to operate in this realm isn't always fun, but if pressed, they'll admit that that's something distinctively American about the market being hyper-competitive, and they might even acknowledge that having Germans and Japanese brands to do battle against helped them improve their own capabilities. Well, I suppose that's right. But here's the point I wanted to make, and it's a good one. There's a new player on the block. CEO Elon Musk and his company, Tesla, have pulled off a couple of feats. First, they've created the first new U.S. car company in decades. The last was American Motors in the mid-1950s. And secondly, they've defied the received wisdom and conceived a monopoly in America. Okay, it's not really a monopoly. It's what I think I would call a micro-monopoly. The market for all electric vehicles is globally tiny right now, about 1% of total sales, but that thing is going to grow. So much so that we'll be the first to hit a threshold beyond which federal electric vehicle tax credits start to phase out. Tesla is dominating the luxury electric vehicle sales. Isn't that something? So I gotta ask, got your Christmas shopping all done, hey? It's Christmas Eve, huh? Lord is good. He has blessed. Remember the reason for the season. I'm reminded of that all the time. And a big thank you again for being on the program today. And now this. Did want to send out a big thank you for all of those of you that have sent us gifts in 2018. And it's just so important to have friends. I love it on Facebook. Have you joined us yet? Greg, G-R-E-G, Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. If you have not, why not do it today, my friend? Lots of folks from throughout there, a lot of Tennessee and Virginia folks with us in the radio program as well as on Facebook. And I love your company. Love being your friend. Thanks to this Christian radio station, we would not be on the air without them. They say, hey, we want the show on, we want it here at this particular time, and again, that's a blessing. Drive Time, it is fantastic to share with you news, information, and comment from a Christian perspective. So, a big thanks to all of you, wherever you may be. We pray you have a great Christmas 2018 tomorrow. Some stations will not be carrying the broadcast tomorrow, and others we will do a special Christmas message for this half hour. Just a reminder. Well, let's talk a bit here about the birth of Jesus Christ. I was reading some things by Adrian Rogers the other day, and I was surprised to find out that once upon a time, he had opportunity to witness to Muhammad Ali. Yeah, the great prize fighter. He said he prayed much about it, and God arranged it where they could be together in a small room late at night before one of his fights. And they were talking about Jesus Christ. Muhammad Ali, he converted to the Muslim faith. How did Adrian Rogers ever get a chance to talk to him about Jesus? He said he had a prayer in his heart that this man might receive Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. He was studying the Islamic faith, and so we're talking back and forth, and he challenged me with this question. He said, You say, sir, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God because he was born of a virgin. He didn't have an earthly father. And then he said to me, Adam didn't have a father or a mother. Would that make Adam more a son of God than Jesus Christ? I said, listen, champ, I want you to understand this. Jesus was not the Son of God because he was born of a virgin. He was born of a virgin because he was the Son of God. Touché. You see, Jesus did not have his start in Bethlehem. Oh, no. Jesus stepped out of the glory of heaven. As we've already said before, unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. This is Luke chapter 2. We're going to be talking a bit about the virgin birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I'm aware that the world laughs at the idea of a virgin birth. They always have, always will. They think of that as some sort of a primitive medieval superstition or something crazy. They laugh. They mock at the idea of a virgin birth. I can tell you furthermore, the devil hates the idea of the virgin birth because it teaches both the humanity and the deity of his nemesis and our Savior, Jesus Christ. But worse than the mockery of this world and the hatred of Satan is the ignorance of so many people who call themselves Christians concerning this very area of the virgin birth. Many of them doubt it, some don't believe it at all, and others think that it's incidental. My friend, I want to tell you today in this brief message that you have no hope of salvation apart from that virgin birth. I want you to know that if you take away the virgin birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you have just destroyed the whole foundation of Christianity, and it will all collapse like a house of cards. Oh no, it's not incidental. It's fundamental to our faith. Couple of thoughts. First, I want you to think about the sacred mystery of his birth. Back to Luke, book of Luke, chapter 2. The angel has announced to Mary that she's going to be with child, and Mary is a virgin. She is espoused to a man named Joseph, but they've not come together in the act of marriage. The ceremony has not transpired. They are not living together as husband and wife, and yet the angel Gabriel says, Mary, you're going to have a baby. Now, she asks a very pertinent question here, beginning in verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be? That's a good question. How in the world is this going to happen? This is a mystery to me. How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The word know not literally means that she's not had any sexual relations with a man. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Underscore the power of the highest. Therefore also, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, yet also conceived a son in her old age, and this is in the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For with God, underscore this now, folks, you might underscore this next phrase two or three times, that'd really be good. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Do you believe that? Can you say amen to that? Now, if you have difficulty with that, you're going to have difficulty with the virgin birth, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Now, we're talking about the mystery of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. May I tell you that the virgin birth does not depend upon your understanding for its validation? You understand that. Is that okay? You don't have to understand it to validate its truth. There are a lot of things we don't understand in life today, right? We don't understand how a brown cow can eat green grass and give us white milk, and it later becomes yellow butter. We don't understand that. Most of us here don't even understand how a windshield wiper works. I can tell you hundreds of things. I don't know how they work. We just know that it works. I mean, it takes the water off the windshield, as an example, with that windshield wiper. But if you had to write a diagram and describe just exactly how that windshield wiper goes back and forth and sprays the water, there are many listening to this program right now who would look a bit befuddled. Now, we understand there might be somebody in the audience today. Yep, you get it. Folks, I'm telling you that there are a lot of things in life you do not understand, but we experience. The late, great Vance Havner, oh, I loved him. When I was first saved, I read everything and listened to him so many times. He said, I don't understand electricity, but I'm not going to sit around in the dark until I do. Isn't that good? So Mary asked a big question, a good question. How can this be, seeing I know not a man? Now, there are some people who say it's not the idea of the virgin birth. Is that not a biological impossibility? Again, I want to tell you that it's not a biological impossibility if you let the angel answer the question. Is there anything too hard for God? Because what? With God, all things are possible. You know, you and I have some exciting things happen to us in our lifetime, and we can't wait to tell somebody. Tell your spouse, tell your kids, tell the neighbor, tell anybody. It's just that exciting. And here's the question. Should we feel that way about Jesus Christ? I mean, that you just want to tell people about Jesus Christ? Why the virgin birth? He came to earth that we might go to heaven. The whole purpose is wrapped up in the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible says, all we like sheep, we've gone astray. We've done it. We've ruined it. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. My friends, we got to come to grips with this Christmas time. You're a sinner. You know it. You know the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Do you know you're destined and doomed to eternity without Jesus Christ if something is not done about that sin? I can tell you this today. There's one thing that God will not do, and that is he will not overlook your sin. Is this getting through? There you are. There's your sin. Here's Jesus, virgin birth, sinless Son of God. No taint in him, no sin in him, no blame on him. The Bible says, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Our sins put on Jesus Christ on the cross. The sinless one carried those sins all the way to the end. And in agony and blood, he died an awful death upon that cross to pay our sin debt. Because our sin is on Jesus, thank God, his righteousness is on us too. That's great news. That's good news, great news. And the Bible says it clearly, plainly, simply, sweetly, perfectly. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. You know, if I could do that for you, I would. I've loved this message ever since I got saved 44 years ago. And the 40 years I've been preaching and 30 years at this same church, I would do it for you. I would. God knows I've preached as best I know how. If I could do it better, I certainly would. God wants you to be saved today, my friend. Why should you die and go to hell when you have such a wonderful salvation waiting today? It's a big question. You've got to answer it. One word. Why? Talk about a present. A Dan and his two boys cut how much wood? Nah. Shane McDaniel posted photos on Facebook of him and his twin son surrounded by enough chopped wood to fill 80 standard-sized pickup trucks. There they are with axes in hand. Can you believe that? They spent months chopping and stacking firewood now valued at $10,000, and they're not going to be selling that stuff either. They're giving it away to people in need. No one goes cold in our hood this holiday season, said the 47-year-old McDaniel. That's what he put on his post, offering to deliver the wood free of charge to neighbors who needed a hand heating their homes near Lake Stevens, Washington. It's about 35 miles east of Seattle. What a great group. Can't imagine, gentlemen, all of that wood. Praise the Lord. There's some really nice people out there, and those around the holiday season can really be extremely generous. This is just one example. A tip of the hat to Shane McDaniel and his twin sons. Good job, guys. And we can't forget a big tip of the hat and a thank you to all the police and doctors and nurses and all those people that will be working all day this Christmas. Thank you so much for your service. That's it for Monday. Enjoy your Christmas Eve and your Christmas Day tomorrow. Be back with you on Wednesday. Have a great day. God bless.